welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Praise God. We were a bit ruined last night at the Days of Favour. I think almost anything now just seems a little bit pale compared to how God encountered us last night. Just the presence of God that came into the place. And we prayed through the mandate. Now, if you don't know what that was, or you're a visitor for the first time this morning, a prophet of God who's well known to us, as in relationship with us, visited us last May, Dr. James Maloney, and he left us with a mandate, a sort of a program of what God was saying to us as a church. Now, we're not going through that this morning, but last night I just want to let you know that we were really praying into that and seeing it established in the Spirit. Because you establish things in the Spirit before you see them in the reality. It's the same when you pray for anything and you're praying to God and you're saying, God, we speak whatever it is, or I speak better finances into my life, or I speak health into my body. You're getting it in the spiritual before you see it manifest in your body. That's why you can say, thank you, God, I have it, because you have it. Even if you don't see it manifest in your body at that moment, and praise God, we're seeing a lot when we do, but if you don't see the healing manifest in your body at that moment, you're still thanking God because spiritually you have received it. Because as that song was saying earlier, it is done. The work of Christ is complete. He didn't have to do anything else after dying upon the cross. The work was finished. That's why from the cross he cried out, it is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. So it was an awesome night, and it was really, I feel, setting us up for this morning. Because today is sort of the Sunday we celebrate our second birthday. Yeah. Woo! Should have had a cake. So we're still in nappies. Still making a bit of a mess. Hallelujah. But our Father is very, very patient, and we have learned to walk. Yeah. Although we do fall over on our padded bottom occasionally. Hallelujah. No, actually, there's a maturity in this church of believers that God has brought together. Hallelujah. As God teaches us. The only thing you need in the Lord, regardless of your physical age, is an openness to learn. We're to be his learners, his disciples, his followers, his discoverers. Jesus takes us on a journey. You don't become a Christian and that's it. Whoopee, I got the badge and the t-shirt. I'm saved. It's more a walk with him. Yes, you get saved. You walk with him while you're working out your salvation. And at the end of your life, you will be saved. Hallelujah. You will be raptured into heaven, taken up to be with him. Amen. 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 It's important to remember that Jesus is our Lord. He's the boss. He's the one in charge. And we are going to a glorious place with an awesome reward. Because we are a people who dare to dream. That's the foundation of the vision God gave to this church. We have a vision, we have a mandate. The vision is our passion, our direction, what we're about. The mandate is instructions of what to do and what to claim in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our vision is to dare to dream. We're not a bunch of dreamers, though, in the sense of a bunch of daydreamers. You know, sort of, oh, isn't it lovely? We'll just be blessed by the Lord. Yes, lovely. Were you blessed today, brother? Were you blessed by the worship, brother? We're a people who dream, who have vision. We know it's at the core of our being that we have a destiny. And that God is calling people from around the nation and the nations to come and join that destiny. Some for a long time, some for a short time, but there is a work to be done in Yorkshire and God is calling people together to answer that call. We're not special in the sense of, separate from everybody, all the other churches. We're just trying to do what God tells us to do. We're just trying to answer the call that is upon our life. We're just trying to live out that mandate, which the summary was to earth God's glory. Earthing the glory. If you weren't wondering what that is, it's the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't just say it as a prayer, we believe it. That as we state these things, God's kingdom is being worked out in our region. As we say, your kingdom come in Scarborough, then we expect to see the physical demonstration of that in the streets and on the streets and in the lives of the people that are here. Amen? People who dare to dream are a people of passion and a people of vision. Is that you lot?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What do you expect on a second birthday but a talk about vision?
Yes.
Amen. That's what you're going to get. We're also going to be very practical this morning because we're going to see as we move into this third year of the fruitful vineyards, of new ministries, of God doing things much more fruitful than we've already seen. And we've seen a lot in 2 years. You know, we've seen miracles, we've seen healings, we've seen salvations, we've seen the glory of God fall. We've had meetings where we're on the floor, we've had meetings when we're on the ceiling. But there's a lot more. We've only just touched the very tip of what God has for us. It looks good. It looks, wow, that's impressive. But under the surface, what God is stirring and preparing and laying. And, oh, hallelujah. That when the floodwaters go down, you're just stand. My goodness, I never realized. Wow, it looked like just a little bit for a dove to land on, and it was a mountain. It looked like a small island for the ark to rest on, but it was a mountain. Hallelujah. What God is building is a mountain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Dreamers. Not daydreamers, but people of vision. People of passion. Of people that dream. Of people that believe for where they live. Of people that expect to see change. Of people that want who dare to have a church that believes that as people come in, they will be loved and accepted and restored. Amen. If you were watching the countdown earlier, there's our vision playing every week, going out every week now so that we grasp what God has for us. Because it's not our vision, it's His vision that He allows us to buy into. It's His vision for His people stationed here in this town. Amen. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the living God. There is no way to the Father except through Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if He is all those things, I want to listen to what He has to say. I want to pick up His passion. I want to know where He's going because He's worth following. Why would I want to go in any other direction when that's who He is? Hallelujah. And this passion that infuses us, the life of Jesus, we want to share with others so that they become just as balmy as us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's go to the story of Daniel if you've got a Bible with you. If you haven't, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I've actually got the message this morning, so it probably won't look like anything like what you've got in yours, but there you go. Thank you, Jesus. This was due to the highly theological reason of I left my Bible at Lamplu. But maybe it was the Lord moving in mysterious ways. Daniel chapter 3 says, King Nebuchadnezzar built a gold statue, 90 foot high and 9 feet thick. He set it up on the Dura Plain in the province of Babylon. He then ordered all the important leaders in the province, everybody who was anybody, to the dedication ceremony of the statue. They all came for the dedication, all the important people, and took their places before the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. A herald then proclaimed in a loud voice, "Attention, everyone! Every race, color, and creed, listen. When you hear the band strike up, all the trumpets and trombones, the tubas, the baritones, the drums and cymbals, fall on your knees and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And anybody that does not kneel and worship shall be thrown immediately into a roaring furnace." That's incentive. Hallelujah. Okay, we probably know that story. You've probably read that before. Look, we have a passion. We have a vision. We have a dream. We even have a mandate. We even have the word of God. Upon which all the other stuff is rubbish and tinfoil compared to. But into our lives come distractions. And the king here is about setting up a distraction. And it's a pretty big 90 foot tall, 9 foot wide, made of gold distraction. It's designed to take you away from the path. There are still a ruler in the spirit world who will stick 90 foot statues made of gold in your life. They look great. They're very distracting. Can you imagine the sunlight shining on this statue on the plain in Israel? It must have looked amazing. And in any way, if you didn't worship it, you were going to be thrown in a roaring furnace. So you might as well. Why did he make it so big? Because he wanted to get attention. Why was it made of gold? because he wanted a really effective way of getting the people's attention. This was no idol distraction either, because as I've already mentioned, anybody that didn't bow down and worship, furnace time for you. No amount of factor 50 is going to protect you in there. And at this point in the story, thanks. I'm glad you're here. At this point in the story, enter the heroes. I know, it's a bit like one of those old 1950s Western, except that there's three of them. And they've got the all-American names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But apart from that, and they haven't got guns and holsters and hats. But apart from that, and it's not in America, and there are no horses. Well, I suppose there was horses, actually. But anyway, three heroes are going to stride into our story at this point. These are the men of God. These are the people who've got a dream, who've got a vision, who've got a passion. And they are the most unlikely of heroes. Because these young men, and they were young men, how old they were at this point, don't really know. Let's say 20, shall we? They were snatched from their own country, their own culture, their own upbringing when they were still children and transported into a completely different place. They were taken from their town where they knew what it was like and placed in a completely different situation where every distraction, including 90-foot tall statues, 9-foot wide, and the threat of being thrown into a furnace, was put in their path. But because they kept the dream or the vision of a God, the God of Israel, who would restore the people of Israel before them and their friend Daniel, there was something within them that knew, I am not going to be distracted by anything the enemy puts in my path. Not even if it's that big, not even if it's that gold, and not even if there is a fiery furnace threat following it. And we've got to be those people. I think we are those people. We are the heroes that stride on in. I'm not talking about a pride of, you know, we've made it, ha ha ha, stuff everybody else. It's an assurance of who we are in Christ and that we are seated in heavenly places and that God has given us every place where we put our foot. Amen? Amen. We need a little bit more shouting and amen. There's quite a bit, but I want some more.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because you're passionate.
Yes.
Aren't you, Steve? See, if you're not passionate, you get picked on, so it's worth being passionate. So they're in this completely new place, this new culture, this new way of doing things. They've even been given new names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't the names they were given. A whole new identity was trying to be thrust on them. It was like their core belief was trying to be pulled right out of them so that they would become people of Babylon. The pressure's on now to be distracted from the dreams, to be distracted from that dream or that vision of knowing God. What are the distractions? We've gone through them already. There's a spectacular sight, something amazing, because it was. Don't just think, oh, it was rubbish. It was amazing. Babylon was the biggest empire on the planet. It was the richest empire on the planet. And when it built something, it built it good. Couldn't speak properly, but it built it good. The next distraction comes along is conformity. Everybody's doing it. Look what it said in that bit at the beginning there. He then ordered all the important leaders. So it's not just the plebs. It's everybody, the important leaders in the province. Everybody who was anybody to the dedication ceremony of the statue. And after the dedication ceremony of the statue, everybody was expected to bow down. So they had the pressure of a big statue. A huge, spectacular distraction. They had the pressure of being required to conform to the way others were living around them. And that is a very, very real pressure. We've got to acknowledge it. Especially, and there's people here and you guys that have just arrived in Scarborough, when you move into a new situation, the pressure that can push and come around you to go in a direction that isn't really you, but just because everybody else is doing it, you end up in completely the place you never intended to be. Stand firm. We're the guys that stride in the town. No tumbleweed around here because the Holy Spirit is moving. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. What else is distracting? Well, there's this loud declaration. Anyone who does not kneel and worship shall be thrown immediately into a roaring furnace. And let me tell you, there's a lot of noise out there in the world. There are a lot of voices shouting at you, trying to get your attention. Sometimes it's not even like, doesn't even look like the enemy. It can be family that don't believe. It can be friends that want you to do things that aren't consistent with the way you know you want to live. It can be just expectations that are piled on you to go somewhere that you just know you're not called to go. Pressure. Then there's the what if factor. What if I never get married? What if I don't pass my first year? No, don't go there. You weren't even thinking that till I said it. What if I go bald? Panics, worries, pressures, things come in that distract you from the dream. I'll be even more handsome. No. TV blares in your face. Endless YouTube videos because you're just going to have one more click. Facebook. Another Facebook friend to keep in touch with. Now I have 2,092 friends. And I know every single one of them. And even Twitter it away in your ear. All these things can be distractions taking you away from the vision and the purpose of what God has called you to. And they're all very loud. What's the answer? Let's get louder. Let's pump up the worship and drown those voices out and just hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Why do we have loud worship? Because we want to broadcast to Scarborough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People hear that music out there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. People even come here because they hear the music. Music is very, very powerful. It can draw people. And look, lo and behold, the king here knows that. The band started to play, a huge band equipped with all the musical instruments of Babylon. And everyone, every race, creed and color, fell to their knees and worshipped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The music was good. This was the best in Babylon. This was muse. Okay? This was fantastic. This was awesome. This was music you wanted to get into and listen to. Now, I like muse. But if that's all you listen to, it's going to distract you from the vision and the dream and the purpose that God has put on your life. You've obviously got to listen to something like... We won't go there, because it might be somebody's favourite. But you've got to not allow yourself to be distracted by the loud music. And then finally, if the spectacular sight, if the pressure to conform, if the loud decoration, if the loud music wasn't enough, you've got the threat of authority hanging over you. I'll kill you if you don't do this. That's a pretty big threat. In fact, these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have every reason in the world to be distracted from the purpose that God has given them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because someone dobs on them. Someone says, hey, you know, while you were all bowed down, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't. I often wonder where Daniel was, but we won't go there. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's obviously on some foreign mission somewhere, answered King Nebuchadnezzar, your threat means nothing to us. Nothing? Fiery furnace? Burn? Shriveling flesh? Nothing to us. If you throw us into the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, that's God. It wouldn't make a bit of difference. Oh, king, we still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. When are we going to get that spirit inside us? It's not a lack of faith spirit. It's a spirit that says, and even if I don't see what it says, I'm still going ahead because I've got a vision. I'm a dreamer. I've got a passion. And I dare to dream that God is doing something big and circumstances aren't going to change that. Even if I'm picked up and thrown in a fiery furnace, I've still got the dream. And if God saves me or God doesn't save me, I don't care because I'm making a stand. I'm going forward to the glory of Jesus Christ. And I will pay the price and I will suffer the discomfort. You all say, sitting in a comfy purple chair. Hallelujah. But there's always a cost. And to be honest, the cost isn't very much in this nation at the moment. But there is a cost, because we could be out bowing down to a beautiful gold statue. I don't know what that represents in your life, but it's there. It's a distraction. Well, things don't go so well at that point, because the king is as good as his word. Dreams and visionaries, you're going to get challenged. Do this or you're dead. It might not come in those words. And it's such a complete lie. Because actually it's, do this and you are dead. Do this and you will walk away from the life that Christ has for you. Do this and you will be spiritually dead. They're right. Do this or you're out of here. Do this and you can't be part of this group. Do this and we just aren't going to associate with you. That's the conformity. There are challenges. In life, maybe your whole belief system just gets challenged from the stuff that's coming at you, from stuff you read, stuff you watch. At work, your integrity gets challenged. Because sometimes it's just a struggle at work, to be honest, because so many people aren't anymore. Everyone fiddles their expenses. In fact, the expenses system is designed to take into account that everybody fiddles their expenses. So you almost get shortchanged, it feels like, because you're being honest. If you're at university, you'll be challenged in your morality because the people around you won't be living the kind of Christ-centered life that you're called to live. And I don't mean that you're going to be sort of holy. I'm holy. I'm sorry. I can't possibly play frisbee. I'm holy. I'm talking about a morality that's your inner core and lifestyle. You're not going to get into relationships that would be a golden statue. A distraction. Because for every person in this room who's not married, either God has called you to be single or he has the perfect partner for you. And that is the assurance you've had. And if you've called to be single, that is the best way for you to be. And if you're called to be married, you're going to be absolutely certain that at the right time, in the right place, you will have a perfect partner. Amen. But distractions come along. They can even destroy the things that God has given us. But there is hope. Because he's still a God of restoration. He's still a God who restores. Amen? Let's not shy away. Because things don't look good. But let's stand up. Let's stand up even when they do look good. Let's keep living the dream. Now, dreamers and visionaries, we have a God who gets in there. He's not some remote, distant being who's not interested. Look what happens to these guys. Nebuchadnezzar, his face purple with anger, cut off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace fired up 7 times hotter than usual. He ordered some strong men from the army to tie them up, hands and feet, and threw them into the roaring furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bound hand and foot, fully dressed from head to toe, were pitched into the roaring fire. Because the king was in such a hurry and the furnace was so hot, flames from the furnace killed the men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to it, while the fire raged around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was hot. Suddenly, King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm and said, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound hand and foot into the fire?" "That's right, O king," they said. "But look," he said, "I see 4 men walking around freely in the fire, completely unharmed. And the 4th man looks like a son of the gods." He was close. Hallelujah. Was he an angel of the Lord? Was he the son of God? We don't really know. I think it was Jesus myself. Got in there with them. Because we've got a God that gets in there. You see, and the very situation, the actual fantastic thing that happened in here is before they go into the ultimate challenge, they're actually bound. The enemy has bound them and tied them up. And when they're thrown into the ultimate challenge, when they're actually thrown into the fire, the bondage is burnt off. And this is what people who know God, who have dreams and vision, come to realize, that when the pressure's on, when the challenges come in, that's when the bondage is actually broken. It doesn't just go whoop-de-doo and you're all right. Sometimes there has to come a challenge, and incidences in your life that cause you to be broken free. And that's what happened to these guys. But Jesus doesn't leave you all on your own. When you're going through these things, he gets in there with you. There's four people walking around in there, and one of them looks like a son of the gods. And the men got killed just throwing them in. Others will fall by the wayside. But if you remain faithful to your Lord, and faithful to the vision, to dare to dream that God can do more in your life than you could ever expect or imagine, you will not fall by the wayside when things hot up, but you will walk around in the fire with your bondages being burnt away from you in an intimate relationship with the Lord. These guys got to see Jesus before billions of others ever even knew he was coming. They walked around in the fire with him. Three obscure guys who we don't really know that very much about, that lived thousands of years ago and yet walked with Jesus in the fire. But doesn't the word say, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned? When you go through the waters, you will not drown? But it does say you'll go through. And there is another side. The enemy cannot harm you. Hallelujah. Dreamers see persecution as promotion. No, all the important people, the government leaders. Now let's go back one line. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out the fire. How cool is that? All the important people, the government leaders and king's counselors, gathered round to examine them and discovered, you bet they did, and discovered that the fire hadn't even so much as touched the three men. Not a hair singed, not a scorch mark on their clothes, not even the smell of smoke on them. So you're going to go through absolute whatever, but you will not even smell a whiff, because it will not touch you. And the Lord will protect you, and the Lord will get in there with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel, as far as he knows, and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They ignored the king's orders. I mean, this is the king saying this. He's announcing to everybody. They ignored the king's orders. And laid their bodies on the line rather than serve or worship any god but their own. Therefore, I issue this decree. I mean, this guy was dangerous. Because his decree now is, anywhere, anyone of any race, color, or creed who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be ripped to pieces, limb from limb, and their houses torn down. Well, okay, I don't know if it's progress or not, but it's different. There has never been a God who could pull off a rescue like this. But these guys are dreamers. Persecution becomes promotion, and it says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The very people who had done the opposite of what the world were doing were the ones that were promoted. The very people who looked like they were going to be dead and burnt to a crisp were the very people that were put into positions of prominence. The fire tested them. The fire proved them. The fire refined them. Amen. And when we cry out, send the fire, Lord, remember it's a big fiery furnace that kills people. Hallelujah. But what comes out the other side when they walk out is an amazing bunch of tough cookies. And people will be looking at you, smelling you, amazed at what God has done in you. We are those people. We are the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that stride into town with the assurance that God is with us. Amen. You're going to dare to dream. Are you going to dare to dream?
Yes.
Follow the vision.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to move into a slightly different mode, because we've got a practical thing to do. As we said, today's our second birthday. Woo! Hallelujah. And as we know, God the insane giggling is quite distracting. No. Now, let's get back to Dare to Dream. For 2 years, we've had a way of doing things in this church that aren't actually going to change. But what is going to change is the fruit that we see is going to increase, because we are putting practical multiplication into practice. Not a very good sentence, is it? But that's what we are doing. We're putting multiplication into practice. We can pray, Lord, multiply, set multiplication, give us the gift of multiplication, give us the mustard seed of multiplication. And then we don't listen to what he says to enable the multiplication to happen. But praise God, we have listened. And he's given us a strategy and a way forward. And I'm just going to run through some of that this morning so that everybody here knows. And we'll move on to it. And of course, when we say dare to dream, everything that we do looks and feeds and enables that vision that God has given us. Amen? So, as we move forward, it's still dare to dream, but we've got new leadership for the new adventure. Amen? Now, those two up there, gorgeous couple, but those two up there, they're still in charge, but it's like God is putting a whole host of people to stand alongside us. Now, of course, we're all standing together, but in any group of people, you need the people that have been recognized and set apart. In fact, as we go through what God is doing this morning, I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprise, because everybody is already doing what God has called them to do. We're really just saying, this is what's happening. We dare to dream. We move forward. And some of the slides I'll get to as we go through, they're going to be, you know, too small for you to read in detail what's on them. So afterwards, we've got a whole leaflet of stuff. Don't panic as you see this. I'm not going to spend very long talking on it this morning. But that gives, you've got one of those each to take home so that you've got, you know, who's doing what and who's responsible for what and everything else. Okay? So here's the practical stuff then. This is the structure, if you like, of how we are now that we're Kingdom Faith Yorkshire Trust. Up at the top, you've got the spiritual leadership team. Now, when you form the kind of charity that we are now, you have over that charity a spiritual leadership and trustees. You used to have just trustees. And within churches, there was often this strange situation of the spiritual leadership being in submission to the trustees in the eyes of the law. And the Evangelical Alliance worked with the charity commissioners to change the way that worked. Now, you won't, if you're new to the church, you won't necessarily know everybody on that. You know Paul and Kate, hopefully. Kate is the lady sitting on the front in the nice black and white top, if you don't know Kate. But Pastor Colin and Pastor Clive, they head up Kingdom Faith overall. Okay? They're there as an apostolic leadership. They're not there to come and get involved in everything we're doing every day. In fact, you probably only see them once or twice a year unless you go to things that Kingdom Faith are putting on in other places. So practically, here in Yorkshire, you've got me as the senior pastor, and then you've got the senior leadership team, which is me and Kate. That's all it is at the moment. Okay? But feeding into the leadership team, you've got the trustees of our charity. Okay? That's why that arrow is going into there, if you like, because they're working alongside the leadership. Now, my name seems to appear by every box, but there you go. But the trustees now of the charity, and they're responsible for the finance and the admin side of what goes on, are me and Richard Hart. Now, where are you, Richard? Stand up and give a bow, in case people don't know you are. There's Richard. Who cheerfully often gives up 2-3 days of his week working on stuff at Lamp Blue, including all the finances. And him and Claire Daniels have put into practice all the things we had to do to employ people as a new trust and all that stuff. So they've done a fantastic job. We have another brand new trustee who's leading the worship this morning. Stand up, Joanne. And Pastor Jonathan Croft is one of the other elders down in Kingdom Faith, Horsham. And at some time in the future, that leadership structure of elders down there is going to change, but we'll let you know how that's changing as it happens. That for us will be as it is, even when things down there reorganize, as Pastor Colin takes more of a step back in the leadership, as you heard at Faith Camp. Now, still involved in everything, though, don't panic. Now, if we just move that up to the top of the screen, okay, and this is where, for some of you, it's going to get more and more difficult to read. Yeah, Dave's struggling back there, but never mind. We'll come back to you, Dave. So I'll read it out for you anyway. Basically, the sort of a lighter green boxes are the new positions of leadership. You could call them directors if you want. So you, the first one right down that end over there is, she's not here because she's doing it, is the children's director or J24/7 leader, and that's Nikki Scott. Okay? So someone will have to go and grab her when we start praying for them in a minute. But then the next box along is youth. You'll notice that under youth, there's not really a name at the moment because there isn't really anybody leading it at the moment. What is happening is that Nikki Scott is sharing the leadership of the youth with Dan and Gemma, Dan Abel and Gemma Silk. Okay, student directors are Dan and Gemma. Okay, we'll get them out in a minute rather than getting them all to stand up. The pastoral team, now Peter and Martin are carrying on really in a similar role to what they've always been doing, but instead of reporting directly to me pastorally, Chris, there he is over there, smiling, happy, is going to be our new pastor. He is actually, I don't know if you knew this, he's been a bit of a secret insurgent. He is actually Pastor Chris. He's already ordained by Kingdom Faith. I don't know if you knew that. So you can call him Pastor Chris from now on when you want to annoy him. And no, we will call him Pastor Chris out of respect. I mean, I tend to work on the situation. If we're doing things as a church, call me Pastor Paul. If you're around my house hanging out, please just call me Paul, because it just gets a bit much. But it is important to honour our leaders. So let's give Chris all the honour that we need to in that new position. Claire is going to be the musical director, or the music director. Not a musical director. But you already knew that one. Probably. Events director. Now, there's an interesting one. That's Joanne. That means she's in charge of everything we do. I didn't put it quite like that to her. But, you know, somebody behind has got to be the organisation behind God, not God Encounters, but Strong Tower events, Days of Favour events and stuff like that. She actually will be under Kate, and the events director also is, she's running Lamploo in the sense of she has a special directive, I suppose, to really develop the whole work of Lamploo, see more people coming in and see that. But what her vision is at the moment, her dream is to very quickly see that Lamploo doesn't become something that costs the church something, although it's a great benefit to us, but actually is bringing finances into the kingdom, okay, that we can use. She's very excited about that. If you've been up to Lamploo recently and had a look around, you'll find new cushions and new lights and new pictures and new paintings and everything. Joanne and Kate have been extremely busy up there, okay? So that's the events director. Then you've got the creative director, which is Dan Abel, in his other hat. And Dan he's responsible for how everything looks. You know, how are things being, so it's lighting, it's sound, it's the publications that come out. You know, I'm supposed to have this slide thing approved by the creative director, so I told him it was. And because I'm still up the top. But yeah, he's overseeing everything like that, okay? Creatively, if you like. And then we got the Sheepgate director. What an unusual title. But it's just the one that God has given us from all that Dungate preaching. And so the Dungate director, I mean the Sheepgate directors. are Brian and Shona. And they're all about, you know, seeing people saved, coming into the church, being welcomed, that whole process of coming into the kingdom. They're going to oversee and develop. And you can see that, I mean, they're already coming back at me, these people, with things that they want to do and how they want to develop and how things want to change. And you can see the energy of all these people working together is far greater than one person. In fact, it's far greater than just the sum of those people. You get multiplication. And the one church director is Pastor Martin. And something that I don't know how much you know that he does this, but he works a lot with the other churches in our area, sort of, recognizing that there is only one church in Scarborough. You know, whether it's St. Mark's or Scarborough Christian Fellowship or Ebenezer Baptist, we are the one church. Amen. And we honor those churches and we honor those leaders. Amen. And we want to work with them when we can work with them and do things with them. And, you know, we're doing a lot. And so he's usually at the breakfast, as am I actually, that we have, you know, once a week on a Wednesday morning, where the leaders get together and pray. But he gets to a lot more of those things than I do. Okay, it just keeps that going. And he's done an amazing job, actually, because we have such favour with the other churches. And basically, it's because what Martin has done, even before we started coming on Thursday. Now, this is where you will not be able to read everything, but it's just to give you a flow, and you will get, remember, your special smiley handout. And for those of you who are thinking, what a waste of money, remember, we print A3 at the same price as A4, and it costs about 8p. Okay, here we go then, developing this even further. You'll see the same green boxes on there, even if you can't read them. Now, as I say, it is getting quite difficult to read now, but it's because we're expanding. Now, within those areas of green leadership, the orange ones are other areas of leadership that aren't just on that team, but they're still just important areas. Right over on that side over there, you'll see where the Spirit, of course, you might not be able to see it, but believe me, it's there, Dave. I can see him peering. There's something up there. And so Eileen, for example, leads where the Spirit. So I go to Eileen, as I've been to many of the other leaders, and if I haven't got to you yet, I'll be there, and said, Eileen, can you give me a 3-year plan? I want to know what your vision is for where the Spirit and the teaching that's happening. Tell me what your goals are and how you're going to achieve those goals. And that's what they do. Obviously, you don't just make it up. You get before God and you say, what's your vision? What's your goals? I'm supposed to be filling something in. Hallelujah. In the middle, in fact, almost right in the middle, is missions. And Nigel is wanting to take on and develop the whole role of missions and begin to take teams out and teams go even into other countries and stuff like that. And you've got other things you've got in that whole list, some of which there are people leading at the moment and some there are not. But there will be. But they're there. Street Angels, Brian's leading. There's the whole concept of new vineyards. I just stuck that down the bottom there. Because for me, and I hope the people who I've put their stuff in there aren't offended, but church isn't just, you know, meetings and stuff. So I've stuck on there businesses, innovation, creativity, Solid Rock. You know, Solid Rock Cafe, it's part of what we do. I mean, you're completely one church, but we've got a passion and we want to serve you and we want to work with you because you're part of the blessing of what God is doing in this town. Steve Brennan has started up a sort of new business, new outreach, new thing with the Council of Police. It's called Futsal. It's a South American kind of small-scale football. Okay, and it's absolutely brilliant with youth and children, and it's also used in South America for training adult teams. And he's got a whole vision for developing that. And he's been working with the police and the council, and he started stuff working with kids on the streets. It's absolutely amazing. So, but that's creativity. You know, that's using what God has given you and thinking, how can I turn this into something that's demonstrating the kingdom? Yeah. Hallelujah. And because of the relationship we have with the town, you know, he probably didn't even know it when he was working with the chief inspector, Tony Quinn. As soon as Tony Quinn knew he was with Kingdom Faith, he's come back to me now and he's thinking, oh, this will be good. We need to get behind this. And it's a good reputation to have. So thank you, Steve, and thank you, Brian, for what you've done with Street Angels. Now, what all the blue blobs are, because that's probably all they look like to a lot of you and to me. What all the blue blobs are different areas that you people get involved with within church. And one of the really interesting things you'll be able to do when you get it and look at it, you think, right, where am I involved? What am I doing? What would I like to be involved with? What am I never going near? And then God will give you that. And I might have missed things off because there's obviously a lot and I was just sitting there trying to think of everything. So, you know, come back at me with stuff and you think, well, this should be on there and this should be on there. But I think a lot of the stuff is on there. You know, around Lamplugh House, you've got maintenance, raising the profile, the office administration, the gardens, the produce that comes from the gardens, 9 o'clock, conferences, the newsletter that Joanne's going to be sending out regularly as she develops the Friends of Lamplugh and stuff like that. Okay? So you can have a good look at that, a good long look at that, when you can see it. And finally, this is something that we're doing, but it's just really outlining this concept. And this is of more interest to people who are working on a Sunday morning. But also, I think this next slide, although you'll see it more clearly when you've got it in your hand, will help people in thinking how they can get involved on a Sunday. I said it gets increasingly difficult to read. But it gives you a flow. The green boxes at the top are still the same green boxes. Okay, there's a couple of pale green boxes because they're slightly new innovations. What this is it's how Sundays work, believe it or not. It's how all our meetings and events work. But we're just formalising it and recognising what's going on. At the top, you've got the senior pastor or the key leader for that event, because it's not always me. It could be somebody else, to make that event work. And then you've got all those groups underneath. But in between them, we've got a new role, which he kind of does already. And we've borrowed the term from sort of the world of theatre, really, and called them the stage manager. We thought of all kinds of sort of Christian ones, and we decided we like stage manager better. Okay? So and the stage manager is not leading all these initiatives, but he's the coordinator of all these initiatives, and he's the one that helps make things work. So, for example, the pastoral team are up there. Perhaps say the pastoral team decide they want a special area set aside for prayer at some point during the service. They'd check with Dan that that's going to work, because actually what they didn't realise was that the music team was going to do something in that very same spot. Do you get the idea? So he's like the coordinator of making it work. The little orange box right at the top is the welcome host team. We're over quite a big bit, obviously, of a Sunday morning. And flying under that, again, in the light blue boxes, are all the different things that happen. So under pastoral team, for example, which is sort of Chris's area, you've got healing, prophetic words, in-service prayer, meal invitations, alpha courses, freedom in Christ, what happens after the event, altar calls, helping that no one feels left out, developing the whole concept of open house, liaising with Dan on student events, because Dan's the student director. And you can see they all come under him. It doesn't mean Chris does everything, but it means he's got a team, and that's what he's enabling to happen. On the end there is hospitality, which is Peter and Anne's responsibility, and some of the things they do, the tea and the coffee, special catering, chairs if they're needed in different places. But it doesn't mean that Peter does it all. And at the moment, you know, people do those things. But again, when you get this and you look through it, you think, well, maybe that's where I could get involved. I could actually, because as a church, we're called to serve, aren't we? And we want to be involved in stuff. And sometimes you don't know how to get involved or what you can be involved in. So that will help, I think, a lot of people. The big one along the bottom, of course, is the unloading and reloading of equipment, plus the trailer packing team and the trailer towing team. They are the most blessed group in the church, but they always want more people to help. I mean, the other weekend I noticed it was just about all women that was carrying all the heavy equipment. So there you go. Hallelujah. So we'll give that out. In fact, Joanne, you can... No, we won't give it out yet. We'll give it out at the end. Okay, so dare to dream. That's the way forward. So what we're going to do... Did you just go and tell Nikki? Is that what you were doing? Oh, I thought you were... I thought you were being really, really, really ultra-efficient. Peter, would you be able to just nip and get see if Nikki's free to leave her troops and come in? Because what we want to do is we're going to pray for all those guys and anoint them. Amen? Hallelujah. Anoint them with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So all those guys that were in the green boxes, if you come forward, would it help if I went back to them? So that you know who they are, or so they know who they are. So come on down. You've won the prize. If you're really clever, you could line up in exactly the same order.
Go on, that's impossible. I can't be in two places at once.
Face that lot. Yeah. They're doing their best. Look, that's quite funny. So trustees, you're on the edge, feeding into everything, overseeing it, overseeing all the financial stuff. Yeah, so Gemma's going for one church. No, anyway. So they're not quite the right order. Let's not worry too much. Hallelujah. And hopefully Nikki will be able to join us. I mean, there looks like there's children stirring. Okay, shall we stand? Sorry? Oh. Hallelujah. Does everybody know Gemma, by the way, one of our new student directors? We don't want to draw attention to her. But Gemma, bless her, she's our new third-year intern. Come to us from Bible College for you. So she's going to be working a completely different way to what Joanne just did on her third year. But we're still going to be mightily blessed. Oh, here comes the Nikki. Nikki, our children's director. Could you come and stand next to Dan? Hallelujah. This is a very different morning. We don't usually really do stuff like this, do we? Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. What a team, eh? Hallelujah. Right. So what I want you to do is reach out. Perhaps if there anybody who's in the worship team who's left, who's not down here, could go up. except Kate, because she's busy too. So the keyboard player and the guitarist, I think we got left. A couple of singers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you just give us some, we will have some background music. Let's reach out. Kate and I, we're just going to go along the line, really, and just pray for each person. If we get prophetic words, we pray for them. If anybody of you get a word for some of these guys that are standing up here this morning, you know, make sure you share that. We're not going to spend long doing this, and then we'll wind up what we're doing for this morning, take up our offering and finish. Right, let's pray for them.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.